Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
I want to invite you to go ahead and grab your copy of God's Word this morning. Join me once again in the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Church, that means we are almost at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes as we've been walking verse by verse through this book, and I hope that you will hang on with me this week and next week, and we will close it out, and then we will move on from there. As you're making your way there, as you're finding Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I want you to imagine with me a scenario. Can you do that? Can you put your imagination cap on this morning? Imagine with me that you have a guy named Jim, and Jim has been married to Kathy for 25 years, which means it's their anniversary. All right? Then you've got Sam. I know we have a Sam here. Sam, this isn't any indication on you or anything like that. Just came up with a name this morning. So Sam's been married to his wife for 25 years as well. And so it's their anniversary, and they both remember that it's their anniversary, which is good, right? Amen. So they remember, but Jim remembers, and as a result of remembering that it's his anniversary with his wife, Jim orders flowers to be sent to her work. Dozen red roses. And not only that, but he also plans for them to go out on a nice dinner at the end of the day. Sam, on the other hand, also remembers his anniversary, but he doesn't do anything. Moral of the story, don't be Sam, right? But now, both of them would argue that they remembered their anniversary. But isn't it interesting that we would look and say, there's a little more to remembering something than just mentally making a note of it. In fact, remembering, and as we're going to see this morning in the text, remembering takes action. Not only is it a mental understanding, a recognition of something, but we actually do something about it. Actually move forward with what we think about. So we're going to look at the text this morning. We're going to talk about an issue that I hope for you, as I mentioned last week going into it, that you wouldn't just look and say, okay, well, this doesn't apply to me because it's talking about being young, and Pastor, I'm just not young anymore. I want you to think that way, and we're going to unpack that just a little bit as we work through the text this morning, but I want to read for us verses 1 through 8 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and then I want us to go back through and walk through the text this morning. I want to ask of ourselves some specific questions of what does it mean for us to remember the Lord in our youth. Solomon writes these words, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity." Father, we ask this morning that You would open our eyes that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit this morning. We ask all of that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. This is one of those passages of scripture that's, for Solomon, I think, reality in the moment. I've told you this before, as we've walked through the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is writing this book under the inspiration of the Lord at the end of his life, looking back on a life some would say was probably wasted, a lot of it. Looking back, Solomon was walking through just the portals of time in his own life and letting us have a glimpse of the regrets that he had, of the realization that maybe he had given his life a lot of times to things that really didn't matter. We've talked about what it means to have a meaningful life through this series, through the book of Ecclesiastes, and we've said all along that Solomon wants us to understand, and he emphasizes it here again in verse 1, Solomon wants us to recognize that if we want, if we desire a life that has true meaning, that it will only be found in a relationship with our Heavenly Father through His Son, Jesus. That's the only way that we will have a life that is full of meaning, full of enjoyment, full of true satisfaction. And Solomon has been emphasizing that for us over and over and over again. He said, listen, I have chased meaning in life in everything that you could imagine. This God-shaped hole that's in Solomon's heart, he said, I have tried to fill it up with everything that this world has to offer. And at the end of the day, I realized that none of those things can satisfy the deepest longings of my heart because God created us to have a relationship with Him. And the only thing that will satisfy the deepest longing of the human heart is a relationship with our Creator. Now, as you look at what Solomon is doing here, Solomon says this word that we just talked about, remember. And we've already said if remembering is just a mental action, nothing flows from that. If God is just this checklist in our minds to say, well, maybe I can satisfy Him if I just do this, or maybe if I just think about Him a little bit, maybe put Jesus on top of the cherry on top of the ice cream of my life, maybe that's enough. Maybe if I just a glint in my mind of who Jesus is, maybe that is enough. And yet, it doesn't work that way. If that's the way you approach your anniversary, it doesn't work that way if that's the way you approach your Creator. To remember your Creator is an entire body devotion to Him. It means not that we just mentally think about God. It means that we reorient our lives around following Him. Solomon says here in verse 1, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Notice what he says, before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember your Creator in your youth. We're going to unpack that here in just a second, but I want you to notice where Solomon goes with this part of verse 1 and then from verses 2 through verse 8. In fact, it is really kind of a stark picture that Solomon paints of the end of life. If you've ever watched someone near the end of their life, watched them walk through these things, you'll know exactly what Solomon's talking about. You may have personally experienced some of these things. Solomon is going to give for us, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I don't know, a clear picture of what's to come right before you die if you live a long life. Some of you are like, well, that's not encouraging at all. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to walk through that. I don't want to experience that. And yet Solomon does it for us for a specific purpose, to remind us that in the days of our youth, as we're nearing this point in time, as we're looking forward and recognizing this day is coming, we need to take every opportunity that we can to follow the Lord while we're young and have the ability to do what He's called us to do. Notice verse 2. Solomon says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. The picture there that Solomon is painting is going from light, which he talked about in the last chapter, verse 7, light is sweet and is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun, but yet Solomon contrasts that and says, at the end of light, the days become darker. Sun's not shining like it used to be. The clouds are forming. The rain is coming. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, the strong men are bent. Solomon's picture there is someone as they're moving into older age that their legs don't quite work like they used to. Maybe you've experienced that. You've anticipated that. You've felt that. Some of you are patting your spouse right now and saying, baby, that's what's wrong. That's it. Solomon said it. Talks about the pillars of the house and your legs form as the foundation of your body when you stand. And that's what Solomon's saying here. When the house begins to tremble, when the strong men are bent over. I love this. This for me is, he brings up, for whatever reason, teeth twice. The grinders cease because they are few. Isn't that just a great picture? I mean, your teeth are falling out. They're not working properly like they used to. There's fewer of them than there used to be. And so, talking about grinding teeth at night, there's just not as many as there used to be. And so they cease. Those who look through the windows are dimmed. Eyesight begins to change. Some of you put your glasses on this morning before you could look at the text. Your eyesight's beginning to dim a bit. It says, the doors of the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low. Again, for whatever reason, Solomon has this fixation on teeth again. And he's talking in this about just the realization that in older age, you may have a little more difficulty chewing the food. The sound is just not there when you hear someone chew. And as you lose teeth, they're not working the way that they used to. The sound is low. And one rises up at the sound of a bird. I'll never forget my dad saying, you know, son, I can't sleep anymore. Just wake up at everything. One rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. Their hearing begins to go also. I mean, you look at this and you're just thinking, Solomon, why are you saying this? Like, why are you just putting on display what people are heading for? Isn't that just discouraging somewhat? I mean, you look and you're like, man, why do you have to even talk about it? Let's just not talk about it. Let's put our head in the sand and pretend it's not going to happen to us. I wonder if maybe Solomon is experiencing this as he writes about it. I'm wondering if Solomon is near the end of his life and all of these things that he's talking about with firsthand knowledge of experiencing these things in his old age. The daughters of song are brought low, verse 5. They are also afraid of what is high, meaning that The older you get, the less likely you are to want to climb stairs up somewhere. Terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms. I love that because I had no clue what he was talking about there. I thought, well, maybe he's just pulled that out. But what you recognize is an almond tree is primarily brown and then white flowers appear. So think about that. Personally speaking, with your hair, right? Some of you are like, I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe your hair just fell out, right? You don't have to worry about it anymore. I look, and the reason I keep my hair cut short is I got a lot more gray coming in than used to be there. Tree blossoms. The grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails. Why? Because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Verse 6, Solomon sums it up in all of these things that follow. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, all of those things just pictures of the suddenness of death in the moment. It's over. Verse 7, the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Now, this morning, we could focus in solely on verses 2 through 8 and all leave depressed. I'll leave just thinking, I mean, what's the purpose? I'm about to get older and all these things are going to happen to me. Is life worth living? What's the purpose of life? Solomon gives us that purpose in verse 1. And so if you're taking notes this morning, this is what I want you to write down. The main idea that Solomon is communicating, and then we're going to ask a few questions of ourselves as we think about that. We should remember the Lord early and often in our lives. We should remember the Lord early and often in our lives. And remembers not just a mental idea of thinking about God in some sense, but remembering is reorienting our lives and every aspect of our lives around following Jesus. So Solomon says here, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. I want to answer three questions this morning that I hope for us will bring this home in our own lives, in the lives of our family, and in the life of North River Church. I want us to think about what Solomon's saying here from those three vantage points this morning. So the first one, what does remember your Creator in your youth mean for you personally? What does it mean for you? So in this moment, just imagine I'm just talking to you right now, not talking to the entire congregation. I'm just speaking to you. What does it mean for you to remember your Creator in your youth? I want to talk to the teenagers here this morning for just a minute. You have in front of you your entire lives. You look around this room, not many of us are teenagers in here this morning. We're well past that. And all of us, if we could go back in time and speak to ourselves when we were teenagers, there's not much we would say. One would be, don't be stupid, right? I mean, just don't. That's not smart. We would say that, but I think all of us, if we're following Jesus at this point, we would look back at our teenage self and say, follow the Lord with every part of your being. Don't waste those years that God has given you early on. Don't waste those years trying to chase after what Solomon has already said will never satisfy you. Let me just remind you of this. The people that are your friends today, you will not remember in 5 to 10 years. Can I get a witness? As a teenager, I talked to one person that I graduated high school with. One. But I can tell you this, when I was in school, I was so focused in on what other people thought about me. Focused in on following the crowd. Focused in on doing those things so that I could be popular. People would know my name. Can I tell you at this point, nobody cares. Nobody cares. So teenager, if you're here this morning, please hear me. In your youth, remember, reorient your lives around Jesus Christ. Chase after Him with every aspect of your being. If you're a young parent here this morning, I want to challenge you with this as well, because I can promise you, being a non-young parent at this stage in my life, I don't feel young anymore, church. 35. I just want you to hear me. I remember, just listen, just hear me. I remember when my now 10-year-old was born. I was 25. Now 10 years have passed. And it's funny, the things that I was so focused in on at 25, many of those things I could care less about at 35. But let me tell you the one thing that at 25 that I was focused in on that still matters today is my relationship with the Lord. Hear me, parents, young parents. At this stage in the game, you may look and you may say, Michael, you don't understand. I don't sleep. The baby cries. Can I just say to you, take hold of this moment in time so that 10 years from now, you can look back at yourself at 25 and say, I have grown in my walk with the Lord from where I was at 25 to where I am at 35. And then if you fast forward just a little bit and you look and you say, okay, well, maybe I've got teenagers in the house, or maybe I've got kids that have just left or whatever. So, Michael, I'm not really in the young category anymore. I feel kind of young, but not. I mean, my back hurts when I wake up, right? Can I encourage you in the moment that you are still young? I told you this before. You're younger today than you will be tomorrow if you live. Right? You're younger today than you will be tomorrow. So take this opportunity in your youth to remember to reorient your life around following Jesus. And if you look at me this morning, you say, Michael, I'm in verses 2 through 9 or 2 through 8. That's where I am. Sight's going dim, teeth are falling out, hair's turning gray or falling out. I mean, that's where I am. I would say to you as well, you are younger today than you will be tomorrow. Remember your Creator in your youth. Use the opportunity in this moment that God has given you and reorient your life around following after Jesus. You say, Michael, too many years have passed. Maybe you're here this morning and you go, I've wasted too many years. It's interesting that God doesn't look at it that way. God looks and says, will you give me the next 10? Will you give me the next 20? Will you follow me the rest of your days? And you have the opportunity in this moment, in your youth, to take advantage of following after Jesus. So as we think about that this morning, if we think about remembering our Creator in the days of our youth, there's not one of us here this morning that can say, that doesn't apply to me. No, in fact, every single one of us in this moment has the opportunity to reorient our lives, to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Don't waste your youth. What does remember your Creator and your youth mean for you personally? Let's look at the second question this morning. What does remember your Creator and your youth mean for your family? What does it mean for your family? We talked about what it means for you personally, but what about your family? What does it mean for you to remember your Creator in your youth? Let me encourage parents and grandparents here this morning with this realization. 80+% of people who come to faith in Jesus Christ do it before their 18th birthday. 80+% That means if you have a child under your roof or a grandchild that you have an opportunity to influence for the cause of Christ, you have a limited window, at least statistically speaking. Now, we know that God can do anything, but statistically speaking, you have a limited window of them coming to faith in Jesus Christ before their 18th birthday. Families, please don't sacrifice your child's youth and this opportunity for them to chase after Jesus Christ because you as a family are chasing everything else that this world has to offer. I want you to hear me this morning. It will not matter when your child is an adult if they made the all-star team. It will not matter if they made a C in their class. It will not matter whether or not they accomplished this certain goal that you as a parent have laid out for them. You know what will matter? Whether they're walking with Jesus or not. That's what's going to matter. Jesus tells the story and paints it in this way, this picture. What if you could gain the whole world? Just think about that for a second. What if you could gain the whole world? All the money that you could imagine, all the fame that you could imagine, the prosperity, the honor, the position. What if you could gain all of it at the expense of your soul? Is it worth that trade? But parents, let's be honest with ourselves. If we're not careful, we make that trade for our kids' lives every single week. What do we emphasize at home? What do we champion in our kids' lives? What do we rearrange in terms of our priorities so that the focus is them growing in their relationship with the Lord? I told you this before. Your kids will follow Jesus at the level that you do or less when they become adults. What will that look like in your family's life? We have an incredible opportunity at our church to minister to interact with almost a third of our congregation being fifth grade and under. That means for all of us in here, we typically have kids in the back or grandkids in the back. Is it worth them spending eternity separated from God in hell because of the choices that we make on their behalf? It's not worth it, church. Parent, it's not worth it. Dad, mom, it's not worth it. Grandparent, it's not worth sacrificing your kids on the altar a lot of times of the dreams you were never able to accomplish as a kid. It's not worth it. What does remember your Creator and your youth mean for you personally? What does it mean for your family? But here's the third question. What does remember your Creator and your youth mean for our church? I talked about this just a minute ago of how many kids we have the opportunity to minister to on a week-in and week-out basis, how many teenagers that we have an opportunity to minister to. Can I just say to you, church, God has placed an incredible opportunity at our doorstep and an incredible responsibility to invest in the next generation. Maybe you don't see it week in and week out. I'd encourage you, just for a couple of Sundays, just walk back there for a little bit. Just walk in and peek your head in to the baby's room. Just walk and peek your head in to the toddler's room, to the threes and fours classroom, to the elementary age classroom. Or on Sunday nights, just drop by the church office and interact with the teenagers there for just a little bit and recognize the incredible opportunity and responsibility that God has placed on our doorstep. And church, ask yourself the question, what am I doing to invest in them? What am I doing to invest in the lives of these kids? If we have a window of 18 years to invest in them and see them come to faith in Jesus Christ, how do we play a part in that? How do I play a part in that? Let me just give you just a couple of things. One quick and easy way is to serve. Serve in the back with the kids. You say, Michael, I don't get along with kids. I'm glad you say that, because we don't want you to serve if you don't have a passion to serve with the kids, okay? We want you to have a passion to reach them with the gospel. So if you say, Michael, that's just not me. I can promise you there's a way for you to impact kids' lives and never have to speak to one of them. Hear me. I'm as dead serious as I can be. Every single week, the kids' classrooms have to be set up. And you look, oh man, you're just talking about working, doing setup. But do you realize that you doing setup with our kids enables teachers to come in there every single week and pour into their lives and for them to grow in their relationship with the Lord? And you get to play a part in that. But maybe the Lord's gifted you and you have a passion to see kids come to faith in Christ and to teach them and invest in them. There are opportunities for you to do that. Here's another way. If you say, I just can't go back in one of those rooms. Pray for our kids. They're growing up in an environment that is increasingly hostile to following Jesus with their lives. And if you pull a few of these teenagers but just by themselves and you talk to them about the stuff that they experience week in and week out, you will walk away thinking, the world's coming to an end. They need our prayers. They need us to serve and encourage them and teach them. They need us to come alongside of them. If you're here this morning and you say, Michael, I'm past that stage in my life, can I show you, just look around. There are parents that are walking through that right now that need someone who may have a little bit of gray hair to come and put their arm around them and to say, I promise you, this is just a stage. It just lasts for a little while. I've been there. I remember that. It's just a small blip on the radar screen of your life, and one day you'll wake up and they're gone and you'll think, where did the time go? And they need you to come alongside of them and encourage them and pray for them and challenge them to continue to lift Christ high in their lives. We have an opportunity to invest as a church family in the next generation. What will you do? What will you commit to make that a reality? I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning and We're going to have an opportunity for you to respond this morning to the Lord through singing, and then we're going to remember the Lord this morning as we celebrate communion together as a faith family. What does remember your Creator and your youth mean for you personally? What does it mean for your family? What does it mean for this church? What does God desire from you today? Father, we ask this morning that as we respond to your word, and that we be honest before you this morning. You see the depths of our hearts, and you love us anyway. And yet you call us to respond to your truth. And so as we prepare this morning to take the Lord's Supper together, to celebrate and remember what Christ has done for us, may it challenge us in our youth to take every opportunity we have to chase hard after you. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.